Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is April 19th, 2024. It is Friday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by me. So let's get your day going with a little magic. So our original quote was actually by someone who, like, I'm pretty sure sucks. So I'm going to replace their quote with one of their victims' quotes. I am trying to be a good person. I am trying to be myself. And if nobody likes me for me, that is their problem. Biggest lessons I've learned in life have probably come from a bad situation, from an angry situation, even if I wasn't the one who was angry. Evan Rachel Wood. So, what are we talking about today? So I'm going to do the headline. Okay. Headline. I'm going to throw it over to the moon correspondent, and then I'm going to answer all of your questions about mediumship from my perspective, a untrained, but at least natural medium, I guess. So I'm not trained in mediumship. I have never done like formal training, but I've been a medium my whole life. So I'm happy to share my experiences. So our headline for today is from buffalo.edu. Inherently Human, New Book Explores Magic and Witchcraft by Bert Gambini. UB cultural anthropologist Philip Stevens Jr. says that while magic and witchcraft are both thoroughly researched topics across various academic disciplines, a new effort is needed if we're fully going to understand the nature and significance of these two occult phenomena. Stevens' book, Rethinking the Anthropology of Magic and Witchcraft, Inherently Human, provides that fresh perspective. His sweeping examination in the recently published book demonstrates how these universal ways of thinking are instinctual aspects of evolutionary biology. Magic and witchcraft help explain what it means to be human, according to Stevens, associate professor in the Department of Anthropology. These are absolutely universal beliefs in that the components that are combined in the fearsome witch of traditional societies are present in the psychologies of modernized people who no longer believe in that creature, as evidenced in fears of child trafficking, vampiric and cannibalistic Satanists. Understanding these beliefs explain a lot about human behavior. It is not something that's restricted to marginal areas of society supported only by fringe groups. Magic and witchcraft are central to understanding people, and that's what anthropology is about. Wow, what a really cool, take. And I love that he's publishing a book on it. That's incredible. Wow. So yeah, it's going to be called Inherently Human by Philip Stevens Jr. I'm super psyched. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Friday, April 19th. The waxing gibbous moon continues to strive for perfection in Virgo today. Here, the moon trines Jupiter and Uranus and opposes Saturn. Saturn is asking us to be serious and get to work. It's difficult to do so, however, when Jupiter and Uranus keep distracting us with impossible-to-predict shifts and changes to our day. Thankfully, these shifts take us in a better direction, but Saturn reminds us that we have to continue to keep our focus and put in the elbow grease. There is room for both in our day, but we have to be conscientious about it. If we feel the ability to buckle down and focus come on, take advantage. Sit and dedicate yourself in that moment. However, if something unexpected pops up, try not to ignore it. Allow it into your space and allow it to shift your goals. You might find yourself in an entirely unexpected endpoint, but you'll also discover that it's a better endpoint than the one you had planned. Your daily moon mantra is, the worst walls are never the ones you find in your way. The worst walls are the ones you put there. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Attention, witches! This is Nina Moreau broadcasting a special alert from the Grimoire Society. We ask that witches please remember to subscribe to the new monthly newsletter. While we love psychically sending you every spell, recipe, penny dreadful, and conjure advice that we have, spirit representatives have asked that we cease clogging up the ether. We have contracted a special team of messenger pigeons to deliver your monthly newsletter directly to your doorstep. For only $5, you can sign up for this elusive serial at www.thegrimoiresociety.com. Remember, this notice is for witches only. If you are not a witch and have somehow come across this broadcast, you will forget all that you've heard in 3, 2...
All right, we are back. So I asked on Facebook if anyone had any questions about mediumship, and we get some great questions. So I'm going to go ahead and dive in the best I can. Gabriella asks, do you recommend any audiobooks on the subject? I find that I have trouble focusing on physical books, so I would love any resources you have in audio format. The Witch's Book of the Dead by Christian Day used to be on Audible. I'm going to check right now and see if it still is. That is a good book. It's actually one of my favorites. So let me do a quick Witch's Book of the Dead. Actually looks like it may no longer be on Audible, but it used to be. So that makes me think you can find it in Audible form elsewhere. Magical Mediumship by Danielle Dion is on Audible. It's $17 regular price, but of course, if you have an Audible subscription, you can get it full free. But yes, Magical with a K, Mediumship by Danielle Dion. You can get that on Audible. We've also interviewed her before, so you can go back and listen to that episode if you would like to as well. Next question is, how best to protect yourself while remaining open to communication? Meditating is hard for me, and usually that's where I find I'm told to start. Some resources make it sound like being open to communication leaves you wide open to everything, ill and positive intended. Is it legit, or is it directed by intention of communication? Book recommendations. Okay, so again, book recommendations. The Witch's Book of the Dead, I really enjoy. Danielle Dion's book is really good. I also really enjoy some biographies. I really liked Henry Tyler's book. I know people like to kind of make fun of him because he's a very public medium and he's like a, you know, LA type of medium, and people don't always take those people seriously. But when I read his book, I felt like I related to a lot of his experiences, which told me it was legit. I also really like, while it's not about how to be a medium per se, I really enjoyed Amy Allen in The Dead Files. I learned a lot of vocabulary from that show, which was really helpful. And while she's very Christian, Erin, let me make sure I know her name. Erin Pavlova, I think her name is. Let me double check. ErinPavlina.com. She has a ton of blog posts. I want to say hundreds. So if you really want to learn about mediumship, that's a really great way to start. She also touches on lucid dreaming and stuff. I've recommended her site to people before, and the complaint is that, like, it's no information, just trying to sell services. And here's the thing. You have to get out of this mindset of that you can turn on a YouTube video and learn everything you want. If you want real good information, you kind of have to dig for it and look for it and go from there. People aren't going to hand you this stuff on a silver platter. And if they do, it's probably not going to be that good of information. So, like, just general PSA, she has hundreds of blog posts. If you go on that website and go, oh, it's just trying to sell you services, then you're being lazy and you're not looking for it. Sorry. I hate when you give people good resources and then they complain that, like, it wasn't just put into an IV and fed to them. Like, it's good resources. Okay, the question was, I really liked this question. And how do you best protect yourself while remaining open to communication? So I'm going to be honest with you. I am like the worst witch when it comes to protection magic, and it's because I just really don't do it. I have really good natural boundaries, and this is just boundaries I've created living life and having to be protective of myself. And those boundaries have translated pretty well into the spiritual realm. Also, I do believe that as you get older and more strong-willed, that also creates boundaries. So in my opinion, if you want to create psychic boundaries, you need to create normal day-to-day boundaries. I think they're the exact same. So if you find that you're easily vulnerable day-to-day life, you're going to be easily vulnerable spiritually. So you might as well work on one and work on both, right? So work on your normal day-to-day boundaries and you'll have boundaries. That's the only type of protection I do. Some resources make it sound like being open to communication leaves you wide open to everything. Again, boundaries, right? It's like saying being friendly to one person leaves you open to being attacked. And it's like, well, yeah, if you're not paying attention, if you're not cautious, I will say this just is not something I particularly worry about. I think people overly worry about it. I haven't had bad enough experiences in my life. Have I had like icky experiences? Sure. Just like you have icky interactions with people out in public. It's the exact same. But if that's all you worry about, then you're never going to leave the house, right? So spirits and like the living are very similar. So if you kind of look at it that way, you'll do really well. So again, you don't want to never try it because you're afraid of like the icky things. Again, it's like never leaving your house because what if someone out there is icky to you? Like, yeah, can it happen? Sure. Can I guarantee no one will ever be icky to you? No, because that's just not the world. That's not life. So it's very similar. Again, it's just not something I worry about too much. I have good natural boundaries. And yeah, I've seen a lot of weird stuff. I've had a lot of really weird experiences. One day I'll share them. Today's not that day. But yeah, that's just life, right? If there's a chance walking down the sidewalk, someone might push you. There's a chance while doing work with spirits, they might push you. It's just, you know, how the cookie crumbles. Brittany, recommended teachers or mentors that won't cost a arm and a leg. Ooh, Brittany, there's just no such thing, right? If there were mentors who were giving away good quality information for nothing, they would have thousands and thousands of students and it would consume their life and they wouldn't be able to put food on the table. Yeah, unfortunately, if you want a mentor is someone who's dedicated to your learning. They deserve to be paid for that work, right? Even if you're just paying them minimum wage, which isn't livable, it would still probably be expensive for you and not helpful all that much to them, right? So I just can't really help you there. If you want something as personal, curated, and custom as a mentor, it's going to cost money because that person needs to live, right? That person needs to pay their rent. They need to put food on the table because you're asking them to do a job for you to work, you know? So I don't have recommended teachers because I, especially ones that aren't going to be expensive, right? Because, you know, I don't know if this still happens, but there used to be this narrative that like witches shouldn't charge for their work or their services because it's like a gift from the divine and who are you to like charge for that or whatever. I'm a big believer that once we start dictating what jobs deserve to be paid, we're dictating who we believe in the world deserves to eat. Amanda, what does it feel like? How do messages come through? Can you see and feel things? Oh, these are great questions. What was your first time like? Did you freak out? What are your thoughts on utilizing a tool like tarot to practice mediumship? Do you have regular clients or is it a one and done thing? I'm actually going to answer these backwards. These are really good questions. Do you have regular clients? No, because I do not do mediumship services. One, because I feel like I can't guarantee that like the specific person they want to talk to is going to come through. I do it very, very rarely if someone has like an emergency, because, you know, something like that. I don't take on clients. It just doesn't feel like if I can't guarantee it, I would feel too guilty charging somebody for something I can't guarantee. And I also don't particularly enjoy just like hopping into the ether regularly. I do it when I need to do it. So great question. I don't take clients. Again, I would just feel guilty. I would feel like it wouldn't feel good to me personally. What are your thoughts on utilizing a tool like tarot to practice mediumship? I think I talked about this earlier this week, so I'm going to skip that one. What was your first time like? Did you freak out? No. My family has always been a little weird. So, like, the idea of ghosts weren't weird to me. And also, I think it's really easy to shrug things off. It's like, oh, well, I didn't really see that, or oh, that didn't really happen, or oh. My first time, I don't actually remember because I would have been really little. I do remember, I think my earliest memory of seeing a ghost was I was 5 or 6. And I was sitting on my bed. I was probably watching Peach Dragon or no, it was probably Peach Dragon. I like was obsessed with that movie growing up. And I was sitting in my bed watching Peach Dragon, probably in the middle of like a Saturday. And I look towards my doorway and I see a woman walk by and she's walking towards my baby brother's room. And his was like the last room down the hall, I'm pretty sure. So there was nowhere else for this person to go. And I kind of remember she was in like older clothing, maybe like early 19th century, maybe early 20th century. I'm not great with dates. But I'm like 5. So I see an older woman walking to my baby brother's room and I think, oh, it's my mom. And you know, when you're that age, you're like obsessed with your mother. So I was like, oh my gosh, my mom. And I was like, I'm going to stare at this doorway. And when she walks back, I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to be annoying. And so I turn and I stare at the doorway and I stare and I stare and I stare and I stare, waiting for this person to come back. And they never did. So I get up to go look for her. And I don't go in the direction of my baby brother's room. I go towards the living room and I look and see my mom and my stepdad like just lounging, watching TV. And I asked her, oh, I didn't see you come back. And she didn't like know what I was talking about. So I'm pretty confident that was a ghost. And no, I didn't freak out. I don't think I've ever really freaked out. I remember the first time I had like a really, really, really intense one as a grown up. I did have a freak out when I was 16. That's a whole story for another time. It was really, really bad. I don't think it was a ghost. I think it was like a bad thing. And it completely terrorized me. It terrified me. And I like flipped a switch. So from the age of like 17 to like 16, 17 to like my early 20s, I didn't have any experiences. I mentally flipped a switch and I was like, I can't do, it was too terrifying. That was really, really scary. And I like shut it down. And then in my early 20s, I felt like I was missing something and I like flipped it back. Yeah. How do messages come through? Can you see and feel things? For everyone, it's different. Okay. Everyone, it's different. Very early on, I kind of created a rule with ghosts where I was like, you can communicate with me, but only while I'm sleeping. Please don't do it while I'm awake. It's just too much. And they've mostly stuck to that. They mostly agreed with that. The only time where that changed was I was in a really bad car accident in 2018. The car almost flipped over and it was really scary. I hydroplaned on an overpass and it was horrific. I was so shook up by that experience. Like, I would have nightmares about it, and I was so shaken up by that that I started seeing ghosts when I was awake. And I wasn't cool with that, and it eventually fixed itself. I think just over time, it stopped. But like, it's like I could see them when I was awake, and I was like, that's not cool, that's not the rules, and it went away. But for me, how messages come through is the dead will literally just come to me, typically either in a dream or if I'm like half awake, half asleep. And they come to me. In person, and I can see them. I know it's a message because I know they're dead. And they'll just tell me what they need to tell me. I'll go, hey, who are you? What do you need to say? And they just tell me. I can see them. So that's really nice for me because I can tell people. And usually I know who the message is for. So for example, a really good friend of mine, I had a dream, me and her very recently were in a car together, and a woman was in the back seat, and I looked at her and I said, who are you? She says, I'm so-and-so, I'm related to this person. And I said, okay, what's the message? And they'll tell me the message. Usually they'll just tell me, but sometimes they'll show me some images. So, yeah, that's usually how that works. It's only recently though, am I getting messages from like dead people who have passed on. Before recently, I would just get dead people who are stuck, and yeah, they just come to me. They just walk up to me. I know they're dead. They know they're dead. I go, hey, who are you? What do you want? They'll tell me whatever it is they want. And that's it. Sometimes they'll show me some images. I very rarely get symbols. Usually they just explain to me what they want. So yeah, what does it feel like? If I'm dreaming, it just feels like a dream. But if I'm awake, it doesn't really feel like anything. I don't really have anything happen within my body. For me, it's all mental. But yeah, for me, I'm very visual and audio. So I would say I'm clairvoyant and clairaudient. I can see them. I know what they look like, which is really great because I can go to the person and go, okay, here's what they look like. Here's what their hair, here's what they were wearing. Here's the color of their roots. Here's how tall they were. And that's really good because then the person can validate that that was an actual message. And then I just tell them the message. But sometimes things do like to scare you. And I tend to go in pretty low, so I tend to get the things that can kind of be scary, but I'm just really used to it. So I've had like spirits try to rush me. I've had spirits try to scare me, try to intimidate me. And I basically just like I'll wake myself up usually if I'm asleep. They don't do that when I'm awake, so that's good. Yeah, I hope that was great questions. I hope that was helpful, Amanda. Thank you for asking. Frankie says, how do you start to really get in touch? I can always feel when someone is around and feel their general energy, but I don't know how to really listen and receive messages. Okay. Great question. So I'm so sorry, Heidi. Meditating really, really helped me. Daily meditating 5 minutes a day really taught me how to quiet my distractions. So to really start, you have to be able to kind of pull away from the physical, and everyone's going to do this differently. That's why meditation is really great, because it's like the simplest way to start learning. You have to learn how to sit quietly and kind of pull away from the physical world. So you typically need it to be quiet. You typically need your body to feel comfortable, because if you have like a pain in your hip, that's what you're going to think about. You're not going to be able to pull away. Hypnotic guided meditations can really help because they're helping pull you away. You can use a distraction method such as scrying, a metronome, scribbling. I'll do that a lot. I'll like scribble. That kind of helps me lull myself kind of away. But that's a really great start. So yeah, meditating where you can kind of pull away, lull yourself away is really great. Naps are really great. A midday nap is a really great way to start getting messages because it's kind of a cheat of distracting yourself, right? If you need to pull away from the physical world, that's a really easy way to do it. And if the spirits have questions, they can kind of get to you that way. So yeah, I hope that helps. That's a really simple way to start. Again, close your eyes, lay down, be comfortable, no distractions, and let yourself start to drift. And then when you start to drift, kind of put out the signal that you want to receive a message. And that's, again, easiest way to start. You don't have to pay anybody. You don't have to buy anything. Meditating and napping helps a lot. Because again, you're letting your walls down so they can kind of get through. Rafi says, how do you deal with skeptics? Oh, I don't. I just don't. I don't care if people believe me. You know what I mean? It doesn't bother me. I'm pretty sure my family believes me. One of my other family members, I'm pretty sure is psychic. So like she believes me. And I mean, the fact I like when I do it, I can give people physical descriptions. It usually helps. But yeah, I just don't deal with it. I don't feel the need to prove myself to anyone. Because this isn't a service I offer and I don't charge for it, I don't care if people don't believe me. I also don't go around talking about it. And the only time I ever mention it to anybody or bring it up is if I have an experience with that person or they're with me or if it's for them, you know? But yeah, I guess I don't really, I don't deal with skeptics. It's not like doing tarot readings at like a fair, right? Where like any old person can come up and be like, prove it, you know? It's not something I put out there. It's not something I try to get clients for. So it doesn't matter if anyone believes me or not. But yeah, I hope that was helpful. Talking about mediumship, I have decided in May, I'm going to do 4 mediumship classes. It's going to be kind of similar to the Lenormand classes that I did, where I'm going to be offering 2 time slots, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, for 4 classes during the month of May. I'm only going to offer 10 seats for each class, though, for each time slot, because I want to be able to give people full attention. I'm not going to be doing a lot of lecture. So all the stuff we talked about this week, I'm going to assume you know it. I'm not going to go over clairs too extensively. I'm not going to go over too many things. Lecture-wise, it's going to be all exercises, practices, meditations, guided meditations. I'm going to try to guide you myself through things. It's going to be all hands-on exercises and meditations, things like that. I'm really going to try to help you connect. But again, limited seats because I want to be able to really give like that one-on-one time, okay? And it's not going to be a throw on the Zoom and like sit and watch. You're going to have to participate. Okay. We're going to be doing exercises together. So I need you to participate if you decide you want to do it. So yeah, if you're interested in signing up for that, TanyaBrown.SchedulLisa.com, 4 classes, Saturday, Sunday, I'm going to be taking you through exercises, meditations. I'm going to try to work with you one-on-one to get you closer to that point. And by the time we're done with it, I'm going to come up with a personalized plan for every single person who signs up to keep you moving and keep you going. So if you're interested, TanyaBrown.SchedulLisa.com or go to the Witch Daily Show website and click services and you can sign up there. Remember, I'm only going to offer 10 seats per slot. So I'm going to do a Saturday class and a Sunday class. And it will be recorded. So if you go, oh, I can't make the third class, I'll have a recording for you. I'll mail it to you. So only 10 people per slot, and they're ongoing classes. So if you do one, you're expected to do all four. So that means only 20 people I'm going to accept, because I do want to work with you one-on-one. I don't want it crowded. I just don't want anyone to feel like they're missing out because there's too many people, you know? So if you're interested in that, TanyaBrown.Schedulista.com. I'm only doing it this once this year. I might do it next year if people like it. But yeah, I really want to help, kind of like Brittany said, without it being like an arm and a leg, right? I really want it to be useful, and I want it to be something that gets you started. I can't promise that I'm going to be like your personal teacher, and I can't promise that it's going to hit completely, but I'm going to do my best to put together some really great classes, great exercises, and I really want to help you, as Frankie said, kind of get in touch. Okay. So I hope you find that interesting and such thoughtful questions. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. I do want to give some shout outs first to Lilith. Lilith, you thoughtful Arcadian tropical fish. Lori Sanderson, you spiffy, brilliant garden nymph. Josephine Glass, you graceful, tenacious oracle. And Lisa McGinnis, you scrumptious, rule-breaking sun goddess. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. Well, that's all I've got for you today. So we will talk again next week.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.